Good morning. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay, yay. Let's get started. I have 9 o'clock. I have 9:01. And I want to utilize our time well. Thank you for being here on an early Saturday morning. I know it's not easy to get out the door and come to spend time here. I know some of y'all were here last night, and I pray that it will be worth your time as you learn more about your parenting journey. So I'm going to start us off with prayer, and then I'm going to get going. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these couples. Thank you for this church and their willingness to minister to blended families. And we just ask, Father, that you be a part of our morning, that you anoint me with your words, that my message is your message this morning. And thank you for these couples who have joined. I just pray for encouragement and a blessing over each of their families, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My name is Gayla Grace. I serve on staff with Family Life. There is a division within Family Life called Family Life Blended that was created about 8 or 9 years ago. And we are all about strengthening step families, creating biblically-based resources that will help prevent re-divorce and provide the tools that step couples need. Blended family life is not easy. I know that firsthand. I have been in a blended family for 28 years, and when my husband and I married, we had both walked through divorce. I had been married 11 years previously. I had 2 young daughters. And my husband had also been married and divorced. He had a daughter and a son. So when we married, my girls were 3 and 5. My husband Randy's kids were 5 and 10. And 6 years later, we had a son together. As if we didn't have enough chaos going on, we thought we'd add one more. So, you know, you've probably heard the term his, hers, and ours family. That's what we are. So I came in as a stepmom, as a biological mom, as a wife in a blended family, and I did not understand stepfamily life. I was raised in a traditional home. My parents were married 65 years before my mom passed away. And so when I joined this stepfamily, for me, I just thought, I love kids. Let's add 2 more to the mix, and then another one, and it's just going to be no big deal, right? It was a big deal. It was a huge deal. And my husband and I both had primary custody of our kids, but we both had an ex-spouse out here. And so those of you who deal with that dynamic know that's an extra stressor oftentimes. And my second workshop that I'm going to do this morning is on co-parenting. And so I won't talk a lot about that here, but if you have the co-parenting piece, you might want to also join in on that workshop. But, you know, we've been married 28 years now. And I'm so thankful I didn't quit. And I can tell you, there were times I wanted to quit. There were times my husband wanted to quit. And when you've walked through divorce once, I remember telling a friend of mine, it was easier to be a single mom of my 2 girls than to try to figure out how to make relationships work in this blended family. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thing to say. But that was exactly how I felt at that time. But you know, we're in empty nest years now, and sometimes we refer to it as the promised land. Empty nest is good, but you have to have continued to nurture your marriage during all those blended family years when the kids are growing up to still have a strong, stable marriage when you get to empty nest. And so that's what I'm here to talk to you about today. How do you do that? How do you nurture your marriage when you're in the process of raising these kids? And a couple of things I want to mention because I don't want to forget. There's a card in your chair, a couple of cards maybe. So one of them is about a blended and blessed event that Family Life does every spring. We do it different places across the United States. It is specifically for blended family couples. It is in McKinney, Texas this year. Y'all are so fortunate. It's April, I don't know, 24th or something. You can 27th, okay. And but yeah, right here, right down the road from you. And we will have speakers come in. Ron Deal and I will both be speaking. It's just a great time to kind of rub shoulders with other blended family couples and learn more about how to do this blended family life. Then you'll also notice there is a card that has, it's the same card, two-sided, and it talks about women and blended families. That's a live stream event that I do the second Tuesday of every month. At 3 o'clock Central, it is recorded. If you can't watch it live, you can watch the recording later on the Family Life Blended Facebook page. It's also on Twitter and YouTube. And so I just encourage you to join in on that. We talk about different subjects, but it's all about the challenges as women in blended families, whether you're a biological mom, you're a stepmom, you're a grandma, whatever it is, we talk about a variety of subjects. This Tuesday is our November discussion. I'm having Michelle Cachat. If you're familiar with her, she has a great story, and she is a mom and a stepmom, but she's also somebody who has walked through a lot of suffering. She is a 3-time cancer survivor, and she understands how to have a deep trust in God, how to strengthen that when you walk through challenges. So our discussion this Tuesday is all about hope in stepfamily trenches. So if you feel like you're in the trenches, you need a little encouragement, join us. But it's the second Tuesday of every month with different guests, and I'd love to have you on there. And then you'll see also a card, so my devotional book, Step Parenting with Grace, just so that you know that's out there, and you can find that at Amazon or wherever you buy books. So back to my story, you know, when I married, y'all know that Beatles song that says, all you need is love, all you need is love? I mean, surely some of y'all know that song. In blended family life, it's not all you need is love. You need a whole lot more than love to really make it in blended family life. And those are the things that we're going to talk about today. I'm going to go through several principles. And principle number one is, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be clicking this thing. All right, there's that one. There's that. Principle number one. There we are. Recognize that stepfamilies are formed due to loss. There's been some kind of ending of a relationship, whether a previous parent has died, or there's been divorce, or it was a cohabitating relationship. Something happened that this relationship ended. And so everybody has come into a stepfamily because of loss. And we don't often realize the place that grief plays in our family relationships, especially for kids. Kids are at least a year behind adults emotionally. They can't process emotions like we can. So they might be feeling mad. You might see some mad emotions, and really, they're just sad. They're sad. They miss their mom and dad together. As we head into the holidays, you know, oftentimes there's more stress through the holiday season. Kids are mad. They don't like the fact that mom and dad, their Christmas is going to be different. Their holidays are going to be different. And a lot of that is just grief. We need to just walk them through it. On days that we see them sad, it's as easy as saying, hey, Sally, you look sad today. Are you thinking about something that you want to talk about? Open up the conversation if you can. It's going to be different depending on the age of the kids and the stepkids, but we always want to acknowledge that there is grief and there is sadness. For us as the adults, maybe we are excited about a new chance at marriage. I was. My first marriage, there's some really dark season back here. I'll talk about it a little bit in the next workshop. And when I walked out of that marriage, I didn't intend to remarry, for one thing. I just wanted to raise my girls and be stable. But when I did, when God did bring somebody into my life unanticipated, and we got married, I was excited. I thought, I'm going to have this white picket fence around my house. You know how that is. That means we're going to live happily ever after. That was my dream. And it kind of fell out, at least in that first decade. So the grief, often there's not enough time between divorce or death and remarriage. On average, it takes longer for a child to adjust to a parent's remarriage than to the original divorce. That was hard for me to hear. I had a lot of guilt about my divorce because, see, in my family, you didn't divorce. And yet I did. And so I had a lot of guilt about that. And then I heard, what? It's harder for my girls to adjust to this remarriage. Now they've had to adjust to guilt, to the divorce, now remarriage. It's hard on kids. Now, I'm going to give you some encouragement later, but just know it's hard on kids. That's part of why we really want to prevent re-divorce. The more this cycle happens with kids and in and out and in and out, the less stable they're going to be as adults. And we want to raise, we want to look at the long-term focus of we're raising adults. We want healthy, stable, Christ-centered adults. And so we have to keep a long-range focus. But oftentimes as step couples, we don't prepare for the complexities and the time that's required for these relationships to come together. Research shows it takes 5 to 7 years for step family relationships to come together. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have some joy and you're not going to have some good days and maybe even good months, but it does mean that it's complicated. And on the days that it feels more than you want to handle, you got to muster up some strength or some resilience or a commitment that says, I'm going to keep going, because it is going to take likely longer than you want for your family to feel like a family. For step-parents, we often feel like outsiders. For a biological parent, we often feel caught between our child over here and our spouse over here. We're caught in the middle. And so we don't feel like a family, and it takes longer than we want to get there. So here's some other research that I find is interesting. Boys adjust easier in general. Younger kids do better, which would make sense for us. Adolescent girls have the hardest time. A lot of this is due to their loyalty towards their biological mom, which then sets up for the hardest relationship in stepfamilies, which is the stepmom-stepdaughter relationship, because there's a tug on that heart of an adolescent girl towards her mom. And what does it mean if she's trying to love a stepmom? And then if you have a biological mom over here who's really kind of undermining these relationships, because it does happen, then that's going to be an additional tug on that stepdaughter's heart. And we cannot control that. We can pray for their heart. We can ask God that they would see the truth and what's happening with these relationships. But the truth is, it goes on. And sometimes it takes for them to just get a little older, maybe even out of the house of biological mom, before they begin to form their own opinion about stepmom. And all of a sudden, maybe stepmom's not quite so bad. I can tell you some stories about that with my own stepkids. But sometimes it takes a while before that happens. The most neglected issue in the stepfamily is the marriage, because we are trying to figure out how to make these stepchildren and parent together and all these things that seem very foreign. We're trying to figure it out. So the most neglected relationship becomes the marriage. And then there's a huge strain in the marriage because of the step-parent-stepchildren relationship. That's where the breakdown happens. That's where, if divorce is going to happen, it normally is because there's been a breakdown in these step relationships. The couple cannot seem to find unity. They can't get on the same page. And so those are things that we have to guard against, and we're gonna talk about that a little bit more. Then there's baggage. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but when I came into my second marriage, I had a little bit of baggage. I had walked through some really tough years in my first marriage. There had been addiction. There had been a lack of trust. And by the time I got out of that marriage and I remarried, guess what? I still carried some of that with me. And so in my new marriage, I really struggled with trust for a while. So if my husband Randy went to the medicine cabinet to get an Advil for his headache, I was right behind him questioning, what are you doing? What are you taking? Because there had been prescription drug abuse in my first marriage. And then if my husband didn't come home at 6 o'clock from work like he said he was going to, I'm on the phone. Where are you at? You said you'd be home at 6. I mean, you know, we get delayed. There's traffic. There's stuff that happens. That really wasn't fair to my new marriage. And ideally, we would process all that stuff before we come into a marriage, through counseling, through a pastor, through something. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And so we come in and we're carrying our own stuff. and it puts extra stress on the marriage. So my encouragement to you is if you recognize that you've got some of that stuff going on, find somebody to process it with. Find somebody to help you walk through that so that you don't continue to carry that out and have the effects of it in your marriage. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. Then there's shame issues. You know, divorce still carries some stigma, does it not? In church particularly. That's probably why this room isn't full today, because you know there's a whole lot more step couples in that congregation. But shame keeps us from coming. Divorce is still considered a plague in the church sometimes, not by all churches. I'm so thankful for Watermark being willing to minister to blended families. Not all churches are doing that. And so we carry around this little bit of shame. We feel like we're second-class citizens, but you know what? There's no such thing as a second-class citizen because there's no such thing as a first-class citizen. We are all sinners in need of a Savior to save us from our sin, and we have that. So days that you feel like you're a second-class citizen because of what you've walked through, no, put that down. We deserve to be blessed and to have exactly the same blessings that our traditional families have who sit beside us in church. So remember that. And then on days that it feels hard and we want to quit, God reminded me in Colossians 3, 23 and 24. See, I'm seeing a different thing on mine than y'all do, so this is why I get confused here. Sorry, I'll try to remember this. Whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. That is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord, not for men, knowing with all certainty it's from the Lord, not for men, that you will receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve. If I remembered on days that I didn't really want to serve my stepchildren, that I was serving the Lord, then it enabled me to keep going. Because there were days I didn't want to serve my stepchildren. I didn't want to serve my husband. I didn't even want to serve my biological kids. But if I come back to this verse and I remember, really, I'm doing it for the Lord, then that helped me. Because stepfamilies are birthed out of loss, there's holes that we cannot fill. There'll be behavior directed at us at times that feels unfair, but we still have to be the mature ones. We have to act like adults, even when the kids are not. And even when we have teenagers who are throwing big fits, we have to be the one to regulate ourselves and be the adults. So it all starts with the principle number one, that stepfamilies are formed due to loss. And as we recognize that, then that helps us understand behavior a little bit better and how to help our kids with that. Now, principle number two, where does my loyalty reside? Is it with my spouse or is it with my kids? So those of us who bring biological children into our marriage, we have a longer history with our kids than we do this new marriage. And it's very common that we err on the side of our kids. I mean, I did that. I loved my girls. I had a trust issue with my husband. Why was I not going to lean toward my kids? But even in stepfamilies, the marriage has to be the foundation. It has to be the foundation of our home. And so if we're going to err on the side of one or the other, we need to err on the side of our marriage. That doesn't mean that we're not paying attention to our kids, that we are always considering the marriage. No, it's a both and. It's not either or. You remember, we just talked about grief and the grief that our kids are walking through. And so there's times that we need to be very sensitive to what our kids are walking through. But they also need to understand that this marriage is a priority to us. One way that we can help our biological kids is the biological parent, biological child need to have one-on-one time together. I really recommend that. As we're trying to build relationships, not everything has to be done together as a family. The step-parent doesn't have to attend everything, doesn't have to be a part of everything. The child still needs some one-on-one time with their biological parent. And I really encourage you to do that because for them, it feels like another loss. They lost a parent when they went through divorce or death of a parent, and now the parent that they're with primarily, now it feels like another loss because they brought somebody else into their life that they love. And for the child's perspective, it just feels like they've lost again. So to help prevent that, we spend one-on-one time with our biological kids, and that can really help. So in navigating these parent-child attachments, you know, we've got to realize that with biological kids, we have deep bonds with them. We have automatic respect. We have automatic love. We have automatic forgiveness. We don't have that with our stepkids. And so it's natural that we have these stronger attachments with our biological kids. But with these stepkids, we've got to understand it's going to take longer to pursue these relationships. We have to watch their cues. If we have a prickly teenager who is not interested in hugging us, don't hug. If you have somebody who really is a little more standoffish, it's hard for them to talk about their emotions, don't keep prying. You read off of the cues of your stepchild. As the relationship grows, as they begin to love and trust you, then you can go to the next level. And maybe that includes a hug. But sometimes in the beginning, especially with teenage stepchildren, it's simple things like a text on a day they have a big test. Hey, I'm praying for you today. Let me know how your test goes. Or if it's their mom's birthday. Hey, I hope you have a great celebration with your mom today. I heard it was her birthday. That acknowledges that you're okay that she has a relationship with her mom. They need to know that. You're not threatened by her mom. You're your own person. You have your own relationship. It is okay for you to talk about her mom, because then that means that she can talk about her mom in your home. That's how you build relationships. If they feel threatened by this relationship, they're going to push you out as a step-parent. And so we want to make sure that they know we're okay. We expect you to have a relationship with your biological parent. So also, step-parents, don't move into that disciplinarian role too quickly. It really is the biological parent's responsibility to continue in the disciplining of the kids. Now, as you build a relationship and they begin to trust you, then you can move more into that. With younger kids, sometimes you can start faster. You know, we talked about boys adjust easier. If you have a young boy, that's ideal. They're kind of easy to be able to become a stepmom to. But those, especially in the teenage years or even in young adult years, you're really more of a friend. You're not a disciplinarian. Now, it might reach a point. I can tell you that with my husband, because my girls were 3 and 5 when we married, and my first spouse was really distant and not in the picture much, it did come a time that my husband stepped into that disciplinary role, but it took several years before we felt like that could happen. Teenage years especially. One of my girls was really hard for me, and so we just butted heads, and there were times that my husband and I kind of had a signal to each other of, okay, I need your help. I got to step out here with my biological daughter, and he would do that. And so, you know, I don't want you to feel like you can never get to this point, but connect before you correct. We want to connect first. That really makes a difference. Look behind the behavior of the kids to the hurt and the loss that they're dealing with. We've talked about that a little bit already. Kids didn't get to have a say in the new marriage. Instead, they get step-siblings and step-parents that they probably don't want. Loyalty conflict for kids is real, and it can slow down relationship building. So that was principle 2, where does my loyalty reside? Kids or the marriage, it's both and. It's not either or. Then principle 3, healthy step-families include healthy co-parenting. We're going to talk about this more next session, so I'm not going to land on this long. I'm just going to say, apply the serenity prayer. I love the serenity prayer, y'all. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. There's a lot of that in step-families. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We can only control what happens in our home. I know you're familiar with the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, with the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit that we have access to: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Self-control. Does it say others' control in there? No, it's not others' control. It's self-control. We want to steal, have control over what our ex-spouse does in their home, right? But we don't. That would be others' control. We only have control over us and what we do in our home. And then Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, there are things that we can't control. There are things that our ex-spouse contributes to that create a lack of peace. And we can't do anything about that. But we can do our part to create peace. So what does that look like? It means we treat the other parent with respect and dignity. We don't criticize them in front of the kids. When we do that, our child internalizes that. They're half us and half that other parent. So when we criticize their parent, they take that on themselves. And it affects their self-esteem. They don't need that. They got enough stuff that they're dealing with. Now, it doesn't mean that we overlook unsafe co-parenting. If there's something going on in that other home that we need to address, I'm not saying that you close your eyes to that. You don't. We're still always the number one advocate for our kids, especially when they're young. But a cooperative co-parent, we want to do our part to cooperate. All right, so principle three, healthy stepfamilies include healthy co-parenting. Principle number four, accept the reality of your present-day circumstances to find contentment. You know, I was just always looking ahead. I want to be like that family over there that just seems to get along so well. They don't seem to have these blow-ups like we have in our home. I want to be able to function like them. And as long as we're pining for something else, we can't find contentment in where we're at. And so we just have to accept the reality of where our circumstances are today. Continue the building blocks of these relationships, but accept and be content that you're not there yet. Continue to work at it. And consider that rewards for your role might be further down the journey that you want. But there are rewards. I'm not a farmer, but I do know that we don't reap in the same season that we sow. We got to sow a long time sometimes before we reap the benefits. One of my favorite verses for stepfamilies is Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. I'm a huge believer in that. I could tell you so many benefits that I have reaped as a mom and a stepmom now in our 28 years of stepfamily life. But if I'd quit, I would have never gotten there, would have never known that I could have the influence on my stepchildren that I have had. I know that. If you are a stepparent, God has called you to that role for a reason. You may be the only Bible that that person ever sees. You may be the only positive Christian influence in that child's life as a stepparent. There's some reason that you get called into a stepchild's life, and we don't want to lessen that. So as we said earlier, it takes 5 to 7 years for relationships to come together, and disharmony is normal in those early years. It's normal. You're not doing anything wrong just because you have disharmony in your home. You're trying to bring these two families together. And these two families have a different way of doing life. And as you try to bring them together and create one family, there's disharmony. So I encourage you, if you need help in trying to figure out how to work through conflict, get help. I didn't do very well at working through conflict in my family of origin. It just appeared that my parents never fought. I never saw them fight. I'm sure they did, but we were never taught how to deal with conflict. And so in my marriage with Randy, I remember him telling me one time, Gaylet, you just always have to be right. You always have to have the last word. He was right. And I had to step back and learn some humility and understand that he had a viewpoint that I didn't have. And just because we parented differently didn't mean that one or the other of us was wrong. It just meant it was different in the way that we're trying to get to this end result. And so there's times that it was helpful for me to just step back and listen and be curious and ask questions in order to kind of arrive at what was best in our marriage. So we can find contentment in the midst of these bumpy roads and overwhelming emotions, but we need God's help oftentimes. He'll give us the tools we need. As missionary Elizabeth Elliot says, the secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. We often want a different set of circumstances. As long as we have Christ in us, we can get to where we need to. We can find contentment. Principle number five, expect the unexpected in stepfamily life. You might have custody changes. You might have illness. You might have things that you would never anticipate. So in my stepfamily, my husband's ex-wife got cancer. When my stepchildren were beginning to approach their teenage years, she got colon cancer and she died a year later. So my stepchildren were 14 and 19 when she passed away, very vulnerable ages. And they had gone to live with her. Actually, my stepdaughter went during her adolescent years, wanted to know her mom more. I'm so thankful for that, even though that's hard. Custody changes are always hard. And then my stepson also went to live with his mom. That one was much harder because my husband really wanted to finish raising his son. But what we know now is he needed those years with his mom before she died. He was 14 when she passed away. And he did come back to live with us. It was pretty rocky, a lot of grief going on at that point. And that's an unexpected change that we would have never expected. So let me just say that if you walk into blended family life and maybe every other weekend you have those kids, and that's great, you're good with that. They don't need to be there all the time. And something happens and you need to take on those kids full time, be up for the challenge if that's what the kids need. Because things do change. Sometimes during the teenage years, those kids need to go to the other home. They want to know that other biological parent better. And that might mean that you take these kids in full time. And pray about it. Just ask for God's help as you try to navigate those hard situations. So I did talk about the scripture there in Exodus. You know, we serve a big God. He parted the Red Sea in Exodus, and the Israelites must have been terrified as they headed to this huge body of water. They're caught between the Egyptians in the back and this huge body of water in the front. And they cried out to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?" And Moses assured them that the Lord would deliver. He said, "Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." That verse is for us too. The Lord will fight for you. When you get into situations that you don't understand and you don't like and you don't know what to do, ask for God's help. But there's sometimes that we just need God to fight for us. Sometimes as step-parents, we need God to just step in and help to soften the heart of our stepchild. And those are things that we can pray for. Just as in this story, the Lord demonstrated his great power with the miraculous parting of the Red Sea. God demonstrates his great power with us time and time again. We have seen that. So expect the unexpected and trust God in the midst of it. Principle number 6, offer grace, rinse, and repeat. I'm constantly reminded of God's grace for me. I mean, I married a man whose last name is Grace. How could I forget that? I think that God must have thought that I needed to be reminded of the importance of grace. And so I'm reminded that every day when I say my name, when I write my name, who do I need to extend grace to today, God? Because I'm sure there's somebody out there. But in my stepfamily, for me, I really needed to extend grace to my stepchildren and also to my former spouse and to my husband's former spouse. But I don't know who's in your family, but if we are harsh and prickly, especially as step-parents, then our step-kids are not going to be interested in having a relationship with us. But if we are full of love and grace, even when they're not full of that towards us, then they will reach out to us at some point. Maybe not that first year, maybe not that fourth year, maybe that 10th year. If we continue to stay invested, we can have relationship with all these kids. We've talked about the reality of our biological kids and how we need grace for them also. My two girls walked into this marriage, and you know, my oldest daughter, Jamie, was a big sister in my family, big sister to her younger sister. But when my husband and I married, now there's an older stepsister. There's a stepbrother who is within 6 weeks of age. And this older stepsister thought she was going to be the boss to my daughter, that thought she was the boss in her family. And so this is a birth order change that happened in our family. It doesn't happen in all blended families, but if you have kids coming from both sides, be aware that a birth order change might be affecting your kids. And so for ours, there was this constant gnashing of teeth between my daughter and my husband's daughter. And we discovered that's why. And we just had to talk to him about, okay, we understand. Jamie's used to being a big sister, and she doesn't want to succumb to this different role that she has now. So just recognize you may need to offer some grace and explain the birth order change if you see that that's happened. And then I'll, with our stepchildren, I remember there were times that my stepson might come home from his mom's house and just go to his room, didn't talk to me. I'd get my feelings hurt. And then later I would think, you know what, maybe he's just missing his mom. Maybe he's just sad. He's not going to go back and see his mom for 2 weeks. I don't need to get my feelings hurt over that. Or maybe my stepdaughter comes in off the bus and, you know, she just kind of slams the door as she goes into her bedroom and I'm going to go address that behavior right away. You know, the truth is, maybe somebody was mean to her on the bus. Teenagers are mean. Social media is harsh. There is some real hard things that our kids are dealing with that we didn't have to. Now, I'm not saying you don't address disrespect or you don't address behavior issues, but I am saying consider grace in there too as we're watching their behavior. Here's a motto I've tried to follow with my stepchildren. Give them the benefit of the doubt until you discover otherwise. Don't assume that their behavior has to do with you. It's very likely it may have nothing to do with you when they are treating you badly. It could have something to do with something else that's going on in their life. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love never gives up. I trust God always. It always looks for the best. It never looks back, but it keeps going to the end. And we need to offer grace for ourselves. We're not going to get this right every day. And we need to understand that some days we need to just recognize, I messed up. Maybe you need to apologize to somebody. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. But, you know, Satan would love nothing more for us to be defeated and just say, I can't do this. It's too hard. I'm done. Maybe you don't even leave the marriage. Maybe you just disconnect and you just choose to not be a part of that stepchild's life because you feel like a failure. We're going to feel like failures as stepparents. We're going to feel like failures in our marriage at times. We are not going to get it right. So I encourage you, offer grace for yourself and offer grace for your partner because they're not going to get it right all the time either. If they have biological kids, you may feel that they side with their kids sometimes. And they probably will. Maybe you feel that they side with their ex-spouse. They always give in to the schedule. Anybody ever feel like that? Sometimes they will. And sometimes they need grace. Sometimes there needs to be a conversation and everybody just says, let's have a do-over. Let's keep trying, even in the midst of what feels kind of hard. So grace is a beautiful piece of a thriving marriage. Offer grace, rinse and repeat. Principle number 7. Step down your expectations of how quickly your blended family will bond and find harmony. We talked about this a little bit already. You might take 2 steps forward and 1 step back. You might take 1 step forward and 5 steps back. Sometimes that's what happens. So just step down your expectations, but know that as you continue to stay in it, it will happen. Be patient with yourself. And then principle number 8, marriage relationship must be the top priority. I remember asking my husband one time, why do you think it is that step couples are so quick to divorce or that we see so much divorce in step family relationships? And his response right off the bat was, because they quit too soon. And there's a lot of truth in that. So of step couples who divorce, 25% of them do it in the first 2 years and 50% do it in the first 3 years. So what does that tell you? It tells you the early years are hard. And so divorce feels like a viable option, especially for those of us who've walked through divorce once already. So just realize you're in those wilderness years. If you're within the first 5 years, it might feel like a wilderness more often than not. But don't give up. There are blessings on the other side of it. Take it a day at a time. Ask for God's help with whatever you're dealing with. And then become a Ghostbuster. identify and deal with painful ghosts from the past. I talked about this a little bit already. Each of you know if you're carrying ghosts into this marriage, so consider that, and if you need to be a ghostbuster. Principle number 9, keep a long-range focus. It's easy sometimes to nitpick our kids to death. I don't know about if y'all do that, but sometimes there's so many things that we think we've got to get right. And I can tell you that when my husband and I had our child together, I was almost 40 when we had our son Nathan. I parented differently with Nathan than we did our other kids. I had quite a bit of parenting under my belt. I was older. I was tired at times. And, you know, the truth is, Nathan is just as stable and well-grounded as the other kids who we nitpicked at times. My husband was big on clean room. He'd go in there and, you know, make sure if it was dusted correctly, he's going to look at it. I mean, yeah, we have to have standards in our home, but consider, is it a hill to die on that he eats every pea on that plate before you let him get on from the table? I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to raise your kids in regards to some of these little issues, but remember what are the little issues and what are the big issues. Because when you get to those teenage years, there's big issues. Teaching them how to drive. Teaching them what crowd to run with and the effects of running with the wrong crowd. Teaching them how to stand up with their faith in the midst of kids who aren't standing up for their faith. Big things that we do need to fight for. And so some of those little things we just kind of need to let them go by the wayside. Also, in keeping a long-range focus, you know, I remember one time when my parents were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and all the grandkids were going to be there. I'm one of 4 girls. My parents had a lot of grandkids, and it was a really big deal to me that I wanted all 5 of our kids. There was going to be a picture, you know, it's going to be on the wall. I mean, we got to have everybody there for mom and dad's 50th wedding anniversary. Well, my stepdaughter had just gone to live with her mom. There was a very contentious relationship with us and her at that time. And my husband said to me, I'm not going to force her to come. She's not happy with us right now. She doesn't want to be part of this big family that doesn't feel like her family. I was mad. I thought he should force her to come to that 50th wedding anniversary, and he didn't back down. And she didn't come, and she's not in the picture. But you know what? That was 20 years ago. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I still got that picture somewhere, and I can see that she's not there. But you know what does matter? We have a really good relationship with her because my husband didn't want to alienate her at a very vulnerable time in her teenage years. So we got to think about the long-range focus. We want to stay in relationship with our kids, especially when they go into those later teenage years and those young adult years. They are naturally beginning to walk away from the family. I mean, in a healthy way, I don't mean that bad. Our relationship as parents is to work our way out of a job. We're not here to have to be parents and have them living in our home forever. We don't have any kids in our home anymore. And so in order to do that, though, we need to let them get their wings, and we need to let them begin to fly, even while they're still under our roof. Because if they make mistakes while they're still under our roof, then we still have influence. But if we're constantly controlling them so that they're not making any of their own decisions until they leave the nest, and then they're making bad decisions over here, you have a whole lot less influence. So I encourage you, let them begin to experience life while they're still under your roof. Yes, you can have some guidelines. I'm not saying that. You can have consequences to misbehavior. My stepson totaled his truck at, 16, 17 years old. There were some consequences to that. But we have to be sure that we're considering what's best as we want a long-range relationship with these kids. So don't parent out of guilt. Okay, when our kids have been through, particularly if there was a death of a parent or divorce and then they remarriage, sometimes we let our boundaries down because we feel sorry for them. We feel bad. We feel guilty of what we have put them through. And so we think it's just better that we give in to them. It's not better. They still need boundaries regardless of what they have walked through. Yes, they need grace and they need love and they need understanding, but they need boundaries. They don't need to be able to control the home, because if we raise kids like that, they're going to be self-centered adults. They're going to have problems with authority throughout their life if they have not been taught to respect authority in their home. So be careful if you feel like you're parenting out of guilt. We put limits on our kids in the early years in hopes that they'll be able to set their own limits as they grow into young adults. We want to work our way out of a job as parents. So be mindful of healthy boundary setting. Principle number 10, ask God for wisdom and discernment every day. I love the story in 1 Kings where Solomon asked for wisdom. You know, he was a young guy, didn't say exactly how old he was. He was old enough to know that he didn't know how to be king, and he asked God for wisdom. And God granted him wisdom. And he said, scripture says the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. Solomon says, "Oh Lord, my God, you've made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and I don't know how to carry out my duties." Do you ever feel like that? I don't know how to carry out my duties. Ask God for wisdom and discernment. He wants to provide it for us. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all." I think one of the best kept secrets in the Bible is God's promise of wisdom. But he's not just going to hand it over to us. We've got to ask for it. Principle number 11, healthy stepfamilies can be very redemptive for children. There's secular research that followed and compared kids whose parents had been through divorce, and then these kids either grew up in strong, stable, healthy, blended family environments, a single-parent home, or an unhealthy stepfamily home. And what that research showed is that kids from stable, healthy stepfamilies walk into adulthood with healthier attitudes about marriage. They tend to pick better marriage partners. They're less likely to cohabit, and they have a longer likelihood of a lifelong marriage. So if we do this thing right in our stepfamilies, if we raise these kids well, then they can be in good relationships long term. They can walk into marriage in a healthy environment. And that's where the motivation comes from, is there can be really good results on the end of this. So two of my biological girls are married. One of them serves in Vietnam, actually, on the mission field. Our son is marrying next July. Then my stepson lives in Denver, has a girlfriend there. My stepdaughter lives here. I mean, they're not perfect. Our relationships aren't perfect, but our kids are stable. They're in good relationships. And so that's just what I want to encourage you with, is there is good at the end of this. And expect God to show up. No matter what you're in the middle of, expect God to show up. God provides for us one day at a time. You know, just as he provided manna in Exodus for the Israelites as they wandered around in that desert for 40 years, he provided manna one day at a time. Those who tried to take that manna and get enough for 2 days, it ended up with maggots in it. It spoiled because God wanted to provide for them one day at a time. Sometimes that's hard, but that's how God provides for us. And then know that he does walk with us. This is one of my favorite verses. He says, "I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not leave you helpless, nor forsake you. I will not relax my hold on you. Take comfort and be encouraged, and confidently and boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper in my time of need. I will not be afraid.'" God walks with us. And God provides the encouragement and the wisdom and the discernment and the perseverance and whatever we need in those hard seasons and in our good seasons. And I just want to just encourage you. I want to encourage you to be part of a small group if you're not. I know Kirk and Lori McGregor, you see Lori here this morning, are leaders of a small group. Another couple that I know is very involved in this. And so for us, a small group probably saved our marriage in the early years. And 28 years ago, we didn't have the material that you have today. There's a lot of great stuff out there. Ron Deal's The Smart Stepfamily, his videos, it can be incorporated so easily into a small group. And then there's other great stuff. I think Kirk and Lori Group has gone through Gary Chapman's book, Building Love Together in Step Families, you know, understanding just the personalities within our step families. So if you want information about that, I believe there is some information in the back of your booklet or watermark.org/blended, I believe, right? And Lori, I think y'all's group is about to end, but you'll start another one in January, is that right? So I just encourage y'all, a small group really for us helped us to sit in a group and hear other people talk about what was going on in their home, and all of a sudden the light bulb would go off and I would think, oh, that's happening in their home too. Huh, I guess we're not doing anything wrong here. It's just part of step family life. Or it also gave me other people that I could go to coffee with and say, I'm about to scream. I really don't like what's happening. Can you give me any encouragement here? I mean, the relationships of others who are walking a similar journey are huge. And so I really encourage you to be part of a blended family group if you can. And not every church has a group like this one does, so y'all take advantage of it. All right, we have 9 minutes. I wanted to leave a little time for questions, and I would love to take questions from y'all. It can be on anything we talked about, or it can be something that we didn't talk about. Tristan has a mic, and
just raise your hand so that we can keep it on the recording.
Please.
Do I need to use the mic? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Oh, for the recording, it's probably best.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks.
I just don't like the sound of my voice. Personal. So obviously we talk a lot about like all the things to do from start to finish. And you do mention like having grace for yourself and having, you know, just continue to do things as you go. But what if like you get to a point where, you know, you're 10 years into it and you realize that you've made mistakes that you can't do anything about at the time, but like you see it now, and then, you know, it's like now you're looking for an opportunity to go back and sort of heal those mistakes or, I don't know, restart things, but, you know, obviously you have the mm-hmm. walls that are up. I mean, mm-hmm. like that's a pretty common challenge for us just because it's like we didn't know what we were doing and we made
right.
some mistakes and, like,
right.
these things would have been great, like, the first year or two, you know, if we had listened and thought that, you know, that we weren't different.
Right.
But... Yeah, I mean, I think even with my wife going to the restroom, but I think just in general, we always have those questions. We just constantly doubt ourselves, and like, you know, it's like we always feel the guilt, and we feel like, oh man, we screwed up the kids. You know, it's like, how do we overcome that, or what would you say is some of the first steps beyond what you've already mentioned?
So for one, I would say we never screw up our kids so badly that they can't get through it, that God can't bring good out of our mess-ups. But I would also say it's okay that perhaps you go to your kids, and I actually did this when my stepkids were teenagers, especially after they lost their mom, and I didn't know what I was doing trying to help them. And I said, guys, I've not done everything right as a stepmom, and I'm really sorry. I'm sorry for the times that I, whatever, blah, 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 you know, even had some specifics that I knew that related to them. And I just wanted them to know I did the best I could. And if there's hurt and there's resentment now, can we start over? Can we continue to work on these relationships long term? Because I'm not going away. And I want to be in relationship with you. So what does that look like? What do you need from me in order for us to build relationships other than humility and forgiveness? So I think you have to get it out in the open. I think it's not uncommon. We don't do everything right, and we may be into this marriage 10 years, 5 years, 8 years, whatever, before we realize there's a lot of things back here we did wrong. But it's okay. God redeems relationships every day. He is a redeeming God, and he will redeem relationships if you have a humble heart and you are seeking him and asking for his direction and guidance. But that would be the main thing I would say is it's probably worth a conversation with the kids to kind of get it out in the open. And both of you together with the kids.
I just want to piggyback on what you just said because we've been blended for 27 years. And when we got married, we had all these teenagers. And I made so many mistakes because mm-hmm. we didn't have any group or
right.
books or any
right.
of that stuff. But when they became adults, I sent them all an email and just said, I am so sorry for all the mistakes I made, the screw-ups, you know, and I hope that you could find grace to forgive me.
Right.
And then when our son got ill, I sat down one-on-one with him and said, hey, you know, what do I need to apologize for?
Oh, wow.
And so we were able to kind of talk through those teenage years because he was 16 when we got mm-hmm. married, and he and his dad were best friends, and then mm-hmm. I come along. And
what's it's another loss.
Feels well, like yeah, and what 16-year-old boy wants another mom?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helped our relationship when, yeah, I ate a lot of humble pie, but I needed to. I needed to. I felt real convicted by the Holy Spirit. Do mm-hmm. this.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to say is sometimes we are taking things on ourselves that our stepkids might not be looking at it in the same way. So sometimes kids are just, in their teenage years particularly, we feel rejected. We feel that we're not doing anything right based on their reaction. But you know what? Oftentimes they're watching us. They're seeing that we're at every ball game. They're seeing that we are fighting for them with their teachers. My stepson, when he was in his mid-20s, sent me a letter and a gift on Mother's Day one year, a handwritten letter that said, thank you for what you did for me as my stepmom. I know I made your life miserable. He said that in writing. But I saw what you were doing for me in all those years. And he even listed them. I saw how you helped me with my homework. I saw how you helped me talk about that girlfriend. He had it in his memory. I didn't know that was meaning anything to him because in those teenage years when he was grieving the loss of his mom, he was shutting me out a lot of times. So just know that they're seeing what you're doing. They're probably not acknowledging it, not in those teenage years, but don't be surprised as adults. They get a new brain. Something happens, you know, and they begin to see things differently. They mature, and all of a sudden, we're important again. They love us. They see all that we did. So thanks for your questions. Anything else? Anybody else? We got 3 minutes.
Let's see, maybe you could share some encouragement with us. So we are, it's hard to see ourselves as a blended family because I had a 6-month-old when we started dating. And so this is all he knows as dad.
Right.
And now we have a 2-year-old together. And so one something that we struggle with a lot is kind of the comparison of the two kids of you're too hard on this one and you're soft on that one. And, you know, this one got more than the other one did. And so is there any encouragement that you could share with us of how to handle those type of situations?
Yeah. So, you know, when I talked about parent-child attachments and I talked about how with our biological kids, there's automatic love, automatic respect, automatic forgiveness. You have all that mm-hmm. with the biological child. He doesn't have those attachments. And so sometimes that grows as the kids get older. But in the meantime, we just want to be sure that we're fair so that our behavior is still fair, even if our emotions aren't in the same place. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. You know, I tell step-parents, it's okay to say I feel differently about my stepkids than I do my biological child, but still treat them the same. Don't say that to them. Say that in privacy, just if you need to say it, but be sure that you're still treating them fairly because that's what the child sees. And I would say that in time, that'll change. I mean, my husband went through some of that. You know, I talked about my oldest daughter who was such a little hellion to raise. She's the one who's in Vietnam on the mission field. So you just don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing with kids. Is if we continue to do the best we can and as we parent them and be fair and raise them the best we can. Yeah, again, God will take our little things and he'll make it big. He'll make it what it needs to be. With we have a humble heart and we're truly seeking him as we parent.
Okay. Thanks.
Just hang in there. All right, one more question. Then we're going to go. There's one right back there.
Thank you for sharing so much. I think this is really helpful for us. Can you give like one tangible example of where you had to put like your marriage first as your foundation, even when you were bringing the kids together? Because I feel like that totally makes sense, and I'm with that, but I'm like, how? Like, I don't totally see how that is
okay.
practical.
So for instance, if we have a stepchild, or we have a biological child, and so our husband is a step-parent to this child, and we are kind of really wanting to always be the parent, even after maybe you've been in marriage a while, many years, and so these relationships are beginning to connect a little bit, and we need to pass power to this parent to be a disciplinarian parent also. We need to give them the authority that, you know, you have connected with this child and you have grown a relationship. And in this marriage, I want us to kind of have a firmer footing in regards to how we're going to parent. And so you go to that child and say, okay, Jack and I have been married for 5 years, and he's really tried to connect with you and grow with you in this relationship, and now he's going to move a little more into a disciplinarian role because I believe he has earned that. You have connected in your parenting roles, and so you pass power to him as a parent. That is one way that it can really he can feel more important in this marriage, that you trust him now, and you're going to allow him to step in. It might be baby steps in the beginning, but a step-parent cannot just forever sit out there and have no authority with his stepkids, or it's discouraging to them. So at some point, we need to begin to pass power to them as they earn it. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Okay, y'all. Thank you for coming. I just want to applaud you for being here because it's not easy, and I hope it's been helpful for you. I hope to see you again. I'd love to see you at Blended and Blessed. McKinney's not far down the road from here, so check that out. Show up at a Women of Blended Families live stream event. And but thank you for being here. Reach out to Lori, even on your way out if you want to. If you want information about the small group, reach out to her.